This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on significant aspects of Quad Foreign Ministers meeting. The participants are Skandiranjan Tayal, former ambassador, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
Quad is a grouping of four major countries, India, Australia, Japan, and the United States of America. Today, the spotlight is on the recently concluded Quad Foreign Ministers meeting in Japan. To discuss more on this, we have with us Ambassador Skandiranjan Tayal. Ambassador Tayal, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Ambassador Tayal, I would first like to ask you, what is Quad, and can you also delve in the history of Quad?
The idea of Quad, which is a short form of quadrilateral, that means four, came initially by Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, the then former Prime Minister, in 2007 when he visited India and spoke about a confluence of Indian Ocean and Pacific Ocean. Before that, always strategically, economically, culturally, it was felt that these are two very separate regions. Then there were some tentative steps to bring four major democracies of Indo-Pacific, that is Japan, Australia, India, and United States, America, together. But governments changed in Australia, and somehow the momentum was not there. But in November 2017, the Quad became a formal group. It is not an alliance. It is not security dialogue. It is a group of four major Indo-Pacific democratic countries which have free economies. And as our external affairs minister said, they have pluralist societies. Now, the background, of course, is that after the rapid rise of China, 2012 onwards, China became more expansionist, more aggressive, and embarked on a wolf-warrior kind of diplomacy. So, many countries started looking to coordinate their policies to contain this expansionist thinking of China. And of course, the developmental agenda is there, that how these four major democracies, India, America, Australia, and Japan, can work together to strengthen peace and tranquility in the entire Indo-Pacific region and also help in development. And now the meeting which was yesterday at foreign minister level is the 8th meeting of foreign ministers. And at summit level also, the leaders of four countries have been meeting. And the next summit level meeting will be in India. Because of the US elections, perhaps it may be in December, but it is scheduled to be in India. So it is a very major grouping.
Ambassador Tayal, you spoke about the Indo-Pacific, and in his opening remarks at the Foreign Ministerial Conclave of Quad, External Affairs Minister Dr. Jaishankar said that only Quad can ensure that the Indo-Pacific remains free, remains open, stable, secure, and prosperous. So I have two questions here. Why is Indo-Pacific so important in the current world order? And what are the friction points in this region?
Indo-Pacific is very important economically as the economic center of gravity of the entire world is shifting from Europe and transatlantic, that means Europe and America, towards Asia, Indo-Pacific. This is because of the rise of China, rise of India as now the third largest economic power, Korea, Australia, etc. And almost 70% of the global trade by ships passes through the sea lines of communication from Indian Ocean or Pacific. In Indian Ocean, the choke points are not very many, but South China Sea, East Asia Sea, etc., there are many choke points where negative power can try to choke free movement of global shipping. So the major issue which is coming in Indo-Pacific is that gradually China is expanding its control over South China Sea. As our listeners know, China has an illegal claim on entire South China Sea. It is a laughable claim of China, but they claim it. And gradually they are increasing their control over South China Sea. At present, they say that any naval ship of any other country passing through that area should inform China. They are not enforcing it, but they are demanding it. And gradually, it can be that even the commercial ships may be asked to report to China. Just as Egypt controls the Suez Canal, there could be a situation like that. So the Quad countries, as well as all the other countries of Indo-Pacific, want to ward off that kind of any possibility on the part of China, and they are working together, and every statement coming out of Quad or ASEAN or any other major grouping talks of free and open Indo-Pacific, that sea lines of communication should be open, unimpeded, and without any restrictions.
Ambassador Dial, you were speaking about China, and very interestingly, my next question is also on China. The Quad foreign ministers in Tokyo called for upholding the free and open rules-based international order and respecting the principle of freedom, human rights, democratic values, sovereignty, and territorial integrity of nations. How do you analyze this statement and also your comments on China's reaction to this statement?
One more sentence which is there in the joint statement, in addition to what you mentioned, it says that the region should be where no country dominates over others and each state is free from coercion in all its forms. Now, what we are seeing, the world is witnessing in South China Sea, is open coercion by Chinese Coast Guard of Philippines fishermen, fishing boats, and their supply boats, which are operating in the Philippines Free Economic Zone, their exclusive economic zone, which is accepted by the international community, which has been endorsed legally by the UN Conference on Law of the Sea. They have an arbitration tribunal, which has given an award in favor of Egypt that the Chinese claims against Philippines are illegitimate, illegal, and they have no basis. But China is not accepting that. So when the Quad statement says rules-based global order, that is critical of China, because China is not obeying the arbitral award of the UN Conference on Law of the Sea. So that is one, and intimidation, that is the other one, which is pointed. China has not been named in the joint communique, but this is very clearly, and these three parts of the statement are directed towards China.
Ambassador Dayal, circling back to the joint statement, the Quad has unequivocally condemned terrorism and violent extremism in all its forms and manifestations, including cross-border terrorism, and urged all the countries to take immediate, sustained, and irreversible action to prevent territory under their control from being used for terrorist purposes. India has always been very vocal about terrorism. Do you feel India has succeeded in putting forth its views on the threats from the cross-border terrorism?
Over the years, I remember before 2001, India was practically isolated when we talked against terrorism. But gradually, the world has realized that terrorism is a menace which is affecting all the countries. You look at the European countries and India, of course, Afghanistan and Russia, there have been attacks, and of course Australia, there were attacks. There is now a greater degree of appreciation that terrorism is not homegrown. It is nurtured by cross-boundary forces. It is financed by countries which are where the financial control is slack. Pakistan is one of those countries. They give shelter to known terrorists and terrorist organizations. And this message is now clear, and there is more global acceptance of joint struggle and fight against cross-border terrorism. And India's message has now been accepted by most of the countries of the world.
Ambassador Dayal, the countries have also called for an end to violence in Ukraine, Gaza, and Myanmar. What importance does this hold in India's foreign policy, considering its relations with these countries?
India has made very balanced and straight statements and taken very balanced positions on all these three conflicts. And India's role is to support any efforts towards peace and reconciliation. As far as Ukraine is concerned, our Prime Minister has clearly told President Putin publicly in the SCO meeting that this is not an era of war. And this statement issued yesterday also speaks of respect for sovereignty and territorial integrity, as well as UN Charter for all the UN members to adhere to it, because the entire peace and security architecture of the world post-Second World War is based on the principles of sovereignty and territorial integrity. That is all must be followed by all the members of the United Nations. But having said that, I think there is a realization in the government of India that the two sides, Russia and Ukraine, are not yet ready for peaceful dialogue, while India keeps on saying that dialogue and diplomacy are the only way out. Perhaps the time for that has not yet come. And one pointer to which the whole world is watching is the result of the next election in the United States, the presidential election. And if President Donald Trump comes back as president, then his views on NATO as well as Russia are quite different from the views of President Joe Biden. So there could be a new opening for some kind of a movement towards peace in Ukraine. And given India's open context, dialogue and communication with both Russia and Ukraine, perhaps at that time India would be in a position to contribute to this process of peacemaking.
Certainly, Ambassador Tayal, I'm sure the world is looking at the United States presidential elections to be held later this year. Ambassador Tayal, Dr. Jaishankar also met his Japanese counterpart Kamikawa Yoko and American counterpart Antony Blinken on the sideline. India and Japan have set $42 billion investment target by 2027. Could you please elaborate on the areas of cooperation already existing between the two countries, and how do you look at the recent announcement?
Japan has been a very, very strong partner in India's development. Japan's assistance in different forms and investment has transformed India's urban transport section. All listeners know the Suzuki car, the Maruti investment, which changed the automobile sector in India. And then we in Delhi are using Delhi Metro. And there again, there was a huge Japanese investment. Now, Japanese ODA, the Official Development Assistance, for freight corridors and for Mumbai, Ahmedabad, the high-speed train. It is a transformational investment by Japan, and their private sector is also ready to invest in India because they are looking to shift some of their investments from China. Japan has earmarked $2 billion to assist such companies which want to shift from China to India. And now it is really a very positive, I would say, challenge for India's private sector, India's states, to attract investment, because the Japanese are keen to invest in India. And now the new investment could be in startups. The SoftBank of Japan has backed many, many startups in India with huge investments. There are lots of possibilities both in traditional sectors as well as in new sectors, which are around communications, internet, artificial intelligence, big data, etc.
Lastly, Ambassador Tayal, could you please explain, India is set to host the Quad Summit later this year. Could you throw light on the areas which India is planning to explore for the agenda?
The main objective, of course, is to work together to ensure that there is peace, tranquility, stability in the entire Indo-Pacific, that the developmental process of Indo-Pacific countries continues without any hindrance, without any negativity from any country, and how to strengthen the maritime awareness and maritime security of small island, Pacific islands, could also perhaps be on the agenda, because India also has been giving a lot of attention to Pacific island countries.
Thank you so much for sparing your valuable time for this very in-depth discussion.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on significant aspects of Quad Foreign Ministers meeting. The participants were Skandaranjan Tayal, former ambassador, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent.